You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. Our question of the night is, who is your favorite disgraced athlete? Let us know. But we did get a text in regard to the chair company from the 920. Our pal Daniel, Danny Wheels, in Menasha says, oh man, the recent episode of the chair company really took the show to another level of dark comedy.
I agree.
Yeah. I thought it was whimsical. I don't know. It's a little dark, but... I have to say, anytime you're watching a comedy and it literally, you see something that makes you sit up in your chair like, I can't believe I'm seeing that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Great stuff. Thank you, Daniel. All right. Let's get to, speaking of laughter, this next gentleman, he's not going to make you think of dark comedy. He's just out and out funny, and he's one of our favorites here. It is my pleasure to welcome Appleton-based comedian, the hilariously funny Rob Brackenridge. Hey, buddy.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm back.
You're back.
Good.
Good
I've been
to see
sitting
you.
In this little square this whole time waiting to see you again.
Yeah, well, mission accomplished, and it's good to see you too. I always love when you're here, but if we can't have you in person, it's great to have you on the stream. And listen, phone would be fine too, Rob. You're that funny. And even if we had to do Morse code, I would figure out a way to make it work.
Yeah, I got a really good Morse code joke. Dit-dit-dit-dit-dot-dot-dot-dot-dit.
I don't know how to do laughter back on Morse code, but I would if I understood it better. It's a great joke.
Wow. Feel free to use that one.
I appreciate that. Hey, do you have a favorite disgraced athlete, Rob?
Oh, Antonio Brown, of course.
Oh, yeah. What did he do? He exposed himself or something like that?
No, he fired a gun at a boxing match in Haiti, and he was arrested in Dubai today.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And he's right now on an airplane coming back. So that's going to be my favorite one. I'd like to get him fresh off the press.
The guy's got his quirks. There's no question about that. Okay. How are you, buddy? What's new in the world of tell us, how is your mom, first of all? You're so funny when you put your mom on social media. She's so funny and so adorable and so sharp. And she's in her 90s?
Yeah. 95 in January 25th.
Wow.
I know. It's amazing. I'm so lucky to have her, you know, so healthy. And she actually came to my show. I was headlining at the Skyline last week with Mike Merrifield.
Yeah, that's right.
And she came to the first show Saturday, sold out, completely sold out. You know, it was one of those nights where you could do no wrong. It was just like, whatever, yeah. I said was perfect. You know?
Yeah.
It's one of those ones where you just want to keep it in the bottle.
Right.
And she, because every other show she'd come to, I bombed. You know, this was the first one where she just saw me kill.
I have to be honest. I can't see you bombing, Rob. Well, your material's hilarious, but you're really likable. You're animated. How do you bomb?
Well, you know, come on. You've been a comedian. I mean, you know what it's like. A second show Friday. That's all I have to say to a comedian.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I get that.
No one can.
No, everybody bombs. You're right. But when you say this is the first show she's been to, that made me think you had a string of shows. And that's what I had an issue with. I can't see you bombing in a string of shows, but, you know.
No, it happens every once in a while, but when it does happen, it sticks in your mind. Like, I mean, you just can't forget it. You can't sleep for a couple of days afterwards.
Right.
You know, right. When you bomb, it's something you tell yourself, oh, it's nothing. It was just the crowd. It was bad, you know, but you keep going in your mind. Oh, I could have said this. Oh, I have a really good comeback, you know, so. But it happens. You never remember the great shows. You just remember the bombs.
That's great. It's not great, but it's a great quote about stand up. What do you do when you bomb? Like, do you just keep going? Do you address, like, if there's a heckler, do you address it, or do you just keep doing your act? Because, you know, some guys, you know, the comics who get up there and they're so good when they bomb. Andy Kindler, like you go, oh, he must bomb a lot and he got good at dealing with it. And that's how he's so funny when he bombs. You know what I mean? But what's your practice?
Yeah, I had a friend who had a great line when he was, because he would bomb a lot. So he would say, well, you know that a comedian is only as good as his crowd. And right now, I suck. And so that was his favorite line. So even if it was a good crowd, he would do it. You know?
That's hilarious.
What I do usually is I slow it down, because a lot of guys will speed it up. And when I was first starting out in stand-up, if I was bombing, I would speed it up to try to get to the next punchline. Speed it up. Now, when I start feeling that the crowd's not with me, I slow it way down. So it's almost like we're, is so anyway, you know, I do it as slow as I can, just so that, and, you know, whether or not they get it or not, that's just the way I deal with it now. And I actually wrote a joke that I really hate the crowd, I tell them this joke. And it's not a bad joke.
Okay.
I was just tired of comedians. Is it okay if I tell you?
Is there swearing?
No.
Oh, yeah. It's not absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with this joke.
Okay.
See, I was so mad at comedians going, well, I'm going to close with a joke. What do you guys want, dirty or clean? And then they tell some street joke, you know?
Right.
So I decided I'm going to write my own joke. And it's not, it doesn't offend anyone. It's just, it's the best joke. And I only tell this to comedians, or I tell it to crowds because crowds never get it, but comedians always get it. And that's why I know you're going to get it. Okay. So, two Jews walk into a bar. Then they realize they're going to be in an anti-Semitic joke, so they leave. So the bartender turns to the drunk and he goes, you're in this joke, aren't you? And the drunk goes, of course I'm in this joke. Where's the gorilla? And he says, well, I thought you were bringing the gorilla. And the drunk goes, well, I don't have to put up with this. I'm a professional. And he staggers out of the bar. So the bartender looks at me and he says, well, if I hurry up, I can get into a good traveling salesman joke. So he's traveling down the highway and he comes up to the farmhouse and he goes, knock, knock. The guy inside goes, who's there? And he goes, it's me. I was the bartender. Now I'm the traveling salesman. He opens the door and it's a gorilla wearing a bathrobe, smoking a cigar. And he says, hey, where were you in the bartending joke? And he goes, that was today? There you go. See, you appreciate that.
Does it get a laugh? Do crowds?
No. No. it gets.
They just leave in a
it
bad
gets
mood.
Nothing. Oh, it gets them mad. They get so angry because they almost got a punchline. Okay, here's, oh, what's a traveling salesman? Oh, I know. No. Oh, you know, so it gets them really mad. But for some reason, comedians love that joke.
That's hilarious. That was today. That's great.
That was today.
Hey, you mentioned Mike Merrifield, and I saw on your Facebook, I don't know where I saw this when I was looking up all things Rob Breckenridge today, but you said you were the cheese balls. Were you guys a comedy team?
Yeah.
That's a great
name.
We
were the comedy team. Yeah, it was Steve Hartman, me and Mike Merrifield, and we toured around. We set up a whole bunch of shows all through Wisconsin, and they were clubs, they were theaters, they were just bars, you know. We filled the entire couple of months with all these shows, and we ended up doing them, and it was a lot of fun. But it's hard to keep them going because everyone else had their own life they had to get back to. So
right, but that's great.
We enjoyed it. Yeah.
Do you know Steve Iatt and Jimmy Pardo?
Yeah, I love Jimmy. He's my favorite. He is my favorite stand-up comedian.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, he was on the show last week, and we were talking. I think we touched on this even, or maybe it was the last time he was on. But Steve Iatt and Jimmy and me did this show called The Three-Headed Monster, and we billed it as three headliners for the price of one. When all of us basically had 20 minutes of materials, like three middle acts, you know.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So we only work like two rooms, but Steve Iod, who's hilarious, he's so funny as well. Watching both those guys was so great. But he had T-shirts made that said Three Headed Monster. And the only place we did the show was in St. Louis at Catch a Rising Star. So it had all the tour dates on the back, just St. Louis, and then TBA, 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 TBA. It was kind of a joke, you know. So I'm in this gas station, and I have that shirt on, and this gas station attendant says, he goes, "Hey, what's that three-headed monster?" I go, "Oh, it's a stand-up comedy show." And he goes, "Oh, thought maybe you might have been in a band or something."
It would be a great name for a band.
we would have been so impressed if I was in a band. My guest is Rob Brackenridge, very funny stand-up comedian from Appleton. He's got some dates coming up. We'll discuss those. Rob, you got a stream comment here from JB Thompson who says, "Rob, awesome that your mom supports you in your endeavors." I totally agree with him. And then Ezekiel, our guest in hour number two, says, "Loved the joke, Rob. I chuckled." So there you go. You're on a roll here tonight.
I got a chuckle. That's almost as good as a chortle.
Or a guffaw, maybe, if things get really crazy.
I could only dream of getting a guffaw.
And then Mark from Prairie du Sac in the 608 said, "It wasn't bad. I gave a chuckle." Well, it's chuckle-worthy, Rob. I mean, that's something, right? And that joke is supposed to be when you don't like a crowd, right? And you leave them Yeah, so there you go.
It's my punishment, you know? And there's never been a better punchline than, "That was today." you visualize that, you know, that gorilla smoking the cigar with his bathrobe on, you know, and fuzzy slippers. And he's like, "That was, oh, geez, I need that money. Oh," you know.
In reference to JB's quote, I hope I know the answer to this. Are you your mom's favorite comedian?
Well, yes, I think because she loved everything that I ever did. I was always in theater, you know, so she would come up to me and she'd say, "You were the best one," you know, and I was the tree. I was the tree. You know? She's like, "Yes, but you know, she is really my biggest fan."
That
so, yeah,
so
I would
great.
Say she, whether she believes it or not, she would say that I'm her favorite comedian.
That's fantastic. I want to give you a quiz, if you're okay with that, a catchphrase comedy quiz. But we have about a minute and a half till we have to do a quick break. And I thought I would try to tell people where they can see you. You got some big, some fun dates coming up.
Yeah, I'm going to be at Pasquale's. Now, I'm sure you've worked this one. Pasquale's in Negaunee, Michigan.
I worked it.
Remember that?
Yeah, probably 8 years ago. I hadn't done stand-up in 6 years or something like that, and they were desperate because there was somebody canceled, and I was like, "Well, okay." I just went up, and they were very nice, and I only had to do like 25 minutes, so it was good.
And that's how they introduced you, too. This next guy, we were very desperate because someone canceled. Here he is, Pote Schwiebe. Schwabe.
He's the only guy we found that had a car. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's a nice guy, though.
Right. Fun room. That's a fun room, though. That.
Yes, it is great. I love it. It's you got to, you know, figure out, you got to, you know, work. That's where you get heckled, heckle practice there at the Negaunee.
Oh, okay. Nice.
They all come out, they drink, and you're on a bowling alley. You're at a bowling alley, isn't it? I think it's a bowling alley. I can't remember because I haven't done it for about 10 years.
Yeah, there's stages like 4 inches off the ground. So it's not like you tower over people.
I'm trying to remember it, but I'm sure it'll come back to me. That's November 28th.
All right, let's pick up on your upcoming dates. We're going to do a really short break. Negaunee, Pasquale's on November 28th. That is a great venue if you're up north. It's worth a road trip to see Rob. We're coming right back with more with Rob Brackenridge. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
I feel it's happened to me, and I'm telling you, it's too late.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. On the stream, Dave says, Ray Finkel, Laces Out. That's from Ace Ventura, right, Con?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
I don't remember the character that well, though. That's his Dave's most his favorite disgraced athlete is from a comedy movie. That's not so bad. Rob Brackenridge is here, folks. Rob, you still with us? I'm so glad.
I sure am.
I thought maybe you'd take a powder during the commercial break, but I'm glad you stayed.
Yeah, I did powder my nose. It was a little shiny.
we used a clip of your stand-up where you're watching the fish take a dump in the string hanging, and like you can't turn it off until you see what happens.
That's one of my favorite bits. Oh,
so funny.
Because it really happened.
I never saw that before. That's the funniest stuff. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that thing had to crack off sooner or later.
It's a hard
way. I just recorded it so I could, you know, because I couldn't wait for it to happen. So I just recorded it and fast forwarded it.
You had places to be. Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. I can't sit there all day waiting for a fish to use a bidet.
Can you imagine if he saw a female fish he thought was cute and he can't crack it off and he's just, it's got to be mortified. That's terrible.
Yeah. You can't get it. I mean, if you have toilet paper on the bottom of your shoe, that's embarrassing. Right. But this guy, he's never going to live that down.
All right. So you got Negaunee, November 26th, Negaunee, Michigan. Actually, a really fun room. And I think they give you a pizza. They're known for their pizza, right? And you get a pizza after the show, which is kind of cool.
And it's the 28th. It's the 28th.
Oh, 28th. Okay. I have to tell you, when I did that date in Negaunee, a friend of mine, I was just going to go up and drive right back. It's like 2 hours from where I live. So I thought, all right, I'll fill in, you know. So a friend of mine was an FBI agent in Marquette at the time. And he and his partner came over to see the show. Well, you hang out with two FBI agents. The stories, to me, are 10 times more interesting than stand-up comedy stories at that point. Oh, yeah. So, and he's a dear family friend. So we hung out till like 2 a.m. Well, when I left the hotel room, I hung out there for like an hour. Then I went to the show, left my key in the room. It was like a mom and pop place. So after about 8 pitchers of beer, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm not driving back to Marinette. So I got to go back to the mom and pop place, knock on the door and wake them up to get back.
That's the Triangle Motel, right?
I don't remember. I was there that one time, but they hated me. She was so mad, but she let me in, which was sweet. I guess I don't.
That's the worst. It's one of the worst hotels you can stay at. It sticks in my mind as I call them ankle scratchers. You know,
why? Why is it? Why is that?
Well, you get those little chiggers in your ankles when you stay there. That's where I came up with the idea for ankle scratchers. You know, what kind of gig is it? You know, oh, well, it's an ankle scratcher. That means they put you up at a Motel 6 or something.
You know? I stayed in a Motel 6 once in Kankakee, Illinois. I don't know why. I lived in Chicago at the time, but my wife went with me. We get to the hotel. I thought, I'll make a night of it. It's a Motel 6. And someone just drew on the popcorn ceiling a bunch of male genitalia. And I'm like, well, this, and so we're laying there looking up, you know, it's kind of got our motors running, but.
It depends on how realistic it is, right? Right. Was it the Sistine Chapel or was it a bathroom wall?
Rob Brackenridge is my guest. He's a very funny Appleton-based stand-up comedian. You can see him in Negaunee, Michigan on the 28th of November. What else you got coming up, Rob? You got quite a few dates here.
The next day I'm in, the 28th I'm in Negaunee. The next day I'm in Sheboygan Falls at the Odyssey Fun Center.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
Yeah. That one, have you done that one yet?
No, but it sounds like there's going to be a bounce house there or something. Is that?
There probably is. It's got everything. It is a bowling alley too. So this one is definitely a bowling alley.
Okay.
And you can I've worked it a bunch of times in between bits. If a joke doesn't go over, you can hear, you know, the pins falling down.
Somebody picking up the spare.
Yeah, someone picking up a spare. My career's taken off.
Well, I like, but the great thing about you, I know you kind of like to stay close to home. So you work these gigs that probably give you more material. I mean, you've worked big rooms and you've done your own specials. Hey, tell us about your special coming up. You're doing a new one. That's exciting.
Yes. Oh, I got the t-shirt on. Open bar comedy. That's what I got paid for doing it.
Is that the opposite of a dry bar comedy special, or is that a play on words?
Yes.
Okay. So what does that mean? You can swear on this one?
Yeah. I don't know if you know Ron Feingold.
Oh, comedian. I do know Ron Feingold.
He is a fantastic comedian, a magician as well.
Oh.
I've known him for probably 35 years. I've been doing comedy for 37 years, and he was one of the first guys I worked with. He was like my opening act in Jeff Valdez Comedy Club in Colorado Springs back in the late 80s.
Yeah.
And he's now doing these open bars, and it's kind of his counteraction to dry bar, because in dry bar, I don't know if you've seen my dry bar special. It's called Legendary.
Yep. Yeah.
D-A-I-R-Y.
Love that. Yeah.
Hilarious. but you have to be really clean, and they give you like a little video of someone telling you how to be clean, you know, and you have to sign all this stuff where, you know, you can't say the word poop and everything, you know. So I do that, you know, and then with open bar, he just goes, whatever you want to say, just go for it, you know? So it was kind of neat doing those two, because you couldn't put them back to back.
Yeah. All kinds of fun here on Nightlight, folks. Great to have you with me. We will be right back for Act Two after intermission. I'm Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. We are jamming through a Tuesday night here at Nightlight tonight. So great to have you with me as we broadcast live statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay tonight. Very excited to welcome this next guest. As many of you may know or may not know, there was a film film shot in Door County recently called A Cherry Pie Christmas. Right down the road here. And tonight joining me on Nightlight is one of the stars of the movie, the female lead actress, Katie LeClaire. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Pete. Thank you so much for having me.
Are you getting homesick for Wisconsin?
Oh, my gosh. I actually really am. And this is not a joke, but literally this morning, I'm making one of the Wisconsin cherry pies, which is to say that there's cheese in the crust. And so I opened a package of Renard's cheddar cheese today, and I went, oh, my gosh, it's so good.
That's great.
I'm homesick.
We stuck with you. That's awesome. So before we jump into this great movie that you shot in Door County, tell us a little bit about you.
Oh, well, I'm a Scorpio. And no, I'm just kidding.
You could. That's fine.
I'm an actor. I'm a baker. I'm a dog mom. And I try to keep things pretty low key. I don't know. I've been an actor for over 20 years now.
Wow.
And I love it. It's really anytime I get to be on set, it's the best version of myself.
That's fantastic. All right. Well, tell us all about A Cherry Pie Christmas. It sounds like a delicious Christmas, certainly, but Door County is known for its cherries. Tell us a little bit about the story or the movie first, then we'll get into some of the shooting stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I play Emma Parker, whose family has owned cherry orchards for over 100 years. And as you know, in Door County, a lot of the businesses that are established there are passed down generationally in the family. And this story is no different. So my character has big city dreams of being a big pastry chef. So she lives in the big city of Chicago, but she's up for a promotion and up for a job that is the pastry chef in New York City. And she really wants to take this new challenge on, and she's really hoping to get hired at this new place. But before that happens, she goes home for the holidays to visit her parents and realizes that the family farm is struggling a little bit more than her parents let on. And her family really wants her to stay in Door County and take over the farm. And she kind of has to figure out, is that something that she wants to do, or can she sacrifice her dreams of becoming a pastry chef in New York City? And simultaneous with that, she, of course, gets reintroduced to her high school sweetheart, played by Ryan Carnes. And so her parents would like her to sort of rekindle that love. And they're hoping that that romance is another thing that will draw her to stay in Door County. And you have to watch the movie to see if the love wins or not.
That's so great. Well, I mean, honestly, it's so funny. Like sometimes when I watch movies, and that's kind of my background too, I want to disappear in them. And I find myself drawn more and more to films shot in beautiful settings. Even if they're not like a genre, if it's a place I want to live, it's like, I want to go there. I want to live that life that this character is living in this beautiful community. And she's baking cherry pies, and reconnecting with old loves. I mean, it just sounds fantastic. Is it a romance or is it a rom-com? How would you identify the film?
I would say it's more like a Christmas romance film. Okay. Yeah. And I will say that Door County is such an incredible backdrop and such a beautiful destination that that destination fulfillment is absolutely captured in this film. And Door County kind of becomes a character in and of itself in this film. So it's a, it was a real treat to actually get to film there and see the community and see the people that represent Door County as well. And yeah, I think a lot of that really comes through in the film.
Did I see, I don't know if I saw this correctly, but it said you shot in March and April for a Christmas movie. How did that work? And was there fake snow, or how'd you swing that?
No, Pete, y'all got real snow in March. What the crud? Well,
listen, it could happen. Oh, now you sound like a Wisconsinite. What the crud? Yeah.
No, but it really was our first day of filming. It was 6 o'clock in the morning and we filmed in a blizzard. And when I say blizzard, like I'm from California, so that might not mean the same thing to you Wisconsinites, but it was a freaking blizzard. Okay. It was a blizzard. The crew members were in parkas and scarves up to their ears and then had to carry their equipment like on a toboggan, like literally with a sled tied around their waist through the snow to get to the actual filming location. Funny. And what was really cool is the scene that we filmed in that moment is the sort of breakdown in myself and Ryan's characters. And it's the like pivotal moment of like, is this relationship going to work out or is it not? So it's kind of the low point for the characters. And there's a real life blizzard. And it's just such a cool, you know, life imitating art, art imitating life moment that it really works in the film. But, you know, literally the snow is sticking to my eyelashes.
Wow. So you did get a little actual Christmas weather. That's really cool. I was not.
Oh, yeah.
Was that your first time in Wisconsin?
No. My ex-husband was from Lake Zurich, Illinois. And we drove across the border because I wanted to say that I'd been to Wisconsin. So we drove to the Mars Cheese Castle. So that was my first time in Wisconsin. But I don't know if that really counts.
No, Door County's much better. You're better off.
Way better.
My guest is Katie LeClaire. She is one of the stars of the movie A Cherry Pie Christmas, which was shot in Door County in the middle of winter, also known as March. Not too long ago. And the film is out, but it's going to be available to stream November 15th, I understand. Do you have any, can you tell us where on November 15th, or is it just VOD?
Oh, yeah, pretty much everywhere. So it'll be, you know, Amazon, Roku, Tubi, all anywhere, the places that you get most of your streaming stuff. So, yeah.
I hate to say this, but I'm going to watch the film for two reasons. I want to see your performance. I want to see the story. But I'm one of those geeks that I live right across the bay from Door County, and we go there a lot. And I've filmed stuff in my hometown where when I've showed it, people go, there's my garage. Like they're not even paying attention to the story. So I'll probably have a little of that with Door County because I've been there so much. But did you have to do a lot of research for this role? Like you play a pastry chef from Wisconsin. Like what, as an actor, what went into this for you?
Well, you know, Pete, I asked the director if he wanted me to do a Wisconsin accent, but he said it was too much and he told me to back it off. So I didn't do an accent. No.
Okay.
And I didn't end up doing that, but I did give the option. They said, what are you doing? Don't do that. And then in terms of the pastry, actually, I am a pastry chef myself.
Oh, nice.
I have a business that I call Katie Bakes, and I'm hoping to get the website up and going so I can ship baked goods to people across the country. KatieBakes.com coming soon.
Love it.
But it was really, really and truly, Pete, a dream come true to be able to film those days where it was just me and the crew and a bunch of flour and butter and sugar. And it really is me and my hands, like, making all these pies. And I have to say, one of the plots of the storyline, the reason it is a Wisconsin, quote unquote, Christmas pie, is that there's cheese in the pie crust. And so while we were filming, I was like, is this even going to work? Like, does the chemistry, because baking so, like, scientifically specific. So while we were filming in someone's just in their home, I'm standing there grating cheese and making the pie crust. And I looked at the director, we were about to go to lunch. And I said, I have to make this pie. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, tell some PA to bring me my lunch back. I'm standing right here in this kitchen. And I looked at the homeowner. I said, can I use the oven for real? He said, yeah, sure. So everybody went to lunch and I stayed and I made the characters Christmas pie. And I'm happy to report that it works, that if anybody is looking for a twist on an old favorite, it's sort of like the, you know, apple pie with a slice of cheddar cheese, like a very old school kind of sounding recipe. You just do like 2/3 cheese and then 1/3 butter, like in your regular pie crust, just swap out, try some cheese, and the chemistry works and the flavor is amazing. And people should try it because it really, really does work.
I would find a way to mess that up. So the best thing to do would just be go to katiebakes.com. I think, and
yes,
play it safe, folks. Hey, so you can be late to the set on this because I also noticed you were a producer. How'd you swing that?
Well, this is actually my 5th Christmas movie with our director, John Stimson. We found a really good thing on a film many years ago called Christmas a la Mode was our first project together. We filmed that in 2019, and John and I just became really fast friends. And, you know, as we kept collaborating more and more, we realized that we had, you know, similar connections and the ability to sort of help the production in a bigger way. And so I was officially brought on as a producer on this project. And I think it'll be the first of many.
That is fantastic. I did notice that. I was going to ask you about that. You've got Love Letters to Santa in your credits, A Very Vermont Christmas, A Cape Cod Christmas, Christmas a la Mode, and now A Cherry Pie Christmas. Would it kill you to do a film about Arbor Day, Katie? Come on.
I mean, I do love trees. I'm a nature gal, so let's go, you know?
When did you know that you wanted to be an actress?
Yeah. I mean, pretty early on, I was Annie in my 8th grade production of Annie, and I got bit by the bug instantly, nice. Like really immediately. My family at that time, we lived in Colorado, and then we moved to Southern California. We moved to San Diego, and I felt like that was close enough that I could sucker my parents into driving me back and forth for auditions.
Sure.
And I have the most supportive parents in the world, and they said, yeah, we'll do anything for you, kid. And then they sure did. So it paid off, I suppose, but it was, you know, only because of the support of my parents that I actually did make it.
Great stuff. Was that your moment? Like, I'm fascinated. Like when I talk to other comedians or actors or whatever, I want to know the moment, if there was one, when they said, I'm going for this, I can do this. Is that what you just described? Or was it a separate moment? Or was it when you were in Annie, were you hooked immediately? And you're like, by all means, I'm doing this.
Immediately. It's something about the lights. It's something about the audience reaction. It's the ability to elicit a response from somebody for the purpose of entertainment. And also, hopefully, they learn a lesson in the process. I love people, Pete. I love people. I love the study of human behavior. I just think there's so... Like, that's my favorite part about this job, is that I get to be a pastry chef in this one and then be a dermatologist in the next one. You know what I mean? And I get to learn people's view on the world and how that changes. And it's the best job in the world.
Are you fascinated when, like, I'm not surprised to hear you say that. But I also know actors or friends of mine that have none of that. And they're pretty good, you know, but like, I feel like what you just described would really help you as a performer, right?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I totally think so. Yeah.
All right.
And maybe it's a little bit of a trauma response. Like maybe I'm just predicting people's behavior all the time. You know what I mean?
Right. Well said. We'll have a couple more minutes with my guest, Katie LeClaire. She plays Emma Parker in A Cherry Pie Christmas, which was shot in beautiful Door County, right down the road here. We'll have more with Emma Parker / Katie LeClaire after this very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
We are back. Great to have you with me. It is Tuesday night, folks, and we are rocking it. It's like we're looking at Tuesday going, all right, Tuesday, you don't like me, I don't like you, but it's on. And we are getting through Tuesday with the help of one of the stars of A Cherry Pie Christmas, which was shot in Door County. It drops on video on demand and all sorts of streaming platforms in just a few days, November 15th. Katie LeClaire is here. She plays Emma Parker in the movie. And we are talking about A Cherry Pie Christmas, but also her career. Do you have influences, Katie? Like, who did you watch growing up where you would see them on the big screen and you're like, oh yeah, that's me?
Well, when I was a kid, my favorite actor was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I knew you were going to say something like that. You're laughing and I go, I bet she's going to say like Charles Bronson or something. That's great.
I couldn't be more farther from who I am.
Yeah.
My favorite actors were Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sandra Bullock because nice. My dad just watched a lot of 90s action movies. So that's what I kind of grew up on. but I mean, I feel like my main influences now are like we were just talking about, like, I just love the people that I get to play.
Yeah.
So, in terms of like what I'm consuming, of course, I'm, you know, watching all the shows that are like, we're in the golden age of television. I think like every week we get a new feature film on our TV screens. So I definitely love television and obviously I love film and, yeah, but I grew up in the 90s action era.
That is great. Have you seen Pluribus?
No.
I just watched it last night. It is so unbelievably creepy. And I can't say enough about it. It's the same guy that did Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad. So it's really
good. Yeah. Cool.
Okay. So for people listening that haven't seen A Cherry Pie Christmas yet or any of your other umpteen holiday movies, Katie, where would you tell them to start? Well, like, what are you most proud of that you did, whether it comes to TV or film? I'm sure you have pride in all of your work and you seem to be a serious student of it, but where would you have them start?
Well, I'm best known, Pete, for the TV show Switched at Birth. And on that show, I played a deaf teenager who went through the trials and tribulations that every teenager does, but happened to be deaf at the same time. I'm most proud of that work because, you know, we filmed that in 2010 was when that series started. And there wasn't a whole lot of deaf representation on screen at that point. I think there's a lot more now. And I think we've learned a lot collectively in the process. But that is by far and large my most proud work that I've ever put out. You know, we had 5 seasons, 104 episodes.
Wow.
And we won a Peabody Award. I mean, I really nice. Think that this show created a lot of conversations for families to have together. And I'm extremely proud of the work that we all did on that show.
I read that about you, that you have hard of hearing or you have hearing issues. And I was wondering about that because I have another friend who was an actor who struggled, did sign language and everything. Does that give you more of an insight as an actor when you don't hear as well as other people? Do you have to tune into different aspects of a character? Does it benefit you in any way?
I'll say that I think in hopefully in all ways of my life and in more than just in the acting profession, I think I'm a good listener. And I think that that's, I have to concentrate on people and really listen to them and really try to understand what people are trying to say with their words, but also with their body. And yeah, I think it creates a more well-rounded experience.
That's a great answer. All right, two more questions for you, Katie, before we let you get back to your pillow factory or the sleeping headquarters, whatever. Did you have a favorite memory of Door County or a spot you liked in particular?
Oh, yeah. So we stayed at the Waterfront Hotel. It's the greatest. I mean, like the view of Sturgeon Bay right there with the freaking icebergs in March.
Nice.
It was cold.
Right.
That was such a wonderful, truly amazing experience. And Di, the host there, was just so warm and welcoming. And the other thing is we did in the movie, there's a fish boil, which I'm sure you're listeners and viewers know about, but it was my first time learning about the fish boil. And we actually ended up having to film that scene twice. The first time we attempted to film, there was thunder snow, which is just a curse word. Like, why would anybody put those two things together? Like, I'm just like, what are we even doing? So we ended up not being able, for safety reasons, not being able to film the fish boil that night. And then they reset the film, or the scene rather, in the daytime rather than nighttime. And we had to do a reshoot. So I actually got to experience the fish boil twice, which was quite, quite fun. It was really cool. Yeah.
That's so great. We have about 30 seconds left. Are you binge watching anything you could recommend?
I just watched the movie Game Night last night.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
It was so much fun and a good ride. Yeah.
Katie, please keep us posted on your movies, be they holiday movies or whatever. I did see some of your work. It's just great. And I'm a fan. So please come back and tell us about everything you're up to in the near future. It's been great meeting you.
Thank you so much, Pete. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome. All right. That's Katie LeClaire. Check her out as Emma Parker in A Cherry Pie Christmas. It drops November 15th on various streaming platforms. And yeah, that was fun, Conrad.
Yeah, that was great. I can't wait to see the film.
It's exciting. I'm gonna watch it twice. I'm going to watch it for the acting and the story and then to pick out my favorite
Door
County landmarks.
Yeah, I think I'll do the same.
On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I am Pete Schwabe saying goodnight, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.